Let's welcome everyone to the first official episode of the new club football season. This is the Hindsight Podcast. My name is Ola Kulerifai and I'm here with Oluwole Ola. Guys, you can always find us on all podcast platforms from Apple to Spotify, Google Podcasts and of course SoundCloud. You can also follow us on all social media platforms at the Hindsight Pod to catch all the highlights of all of our episodes. Guys, it's been an interesting start to the new club football season, particularly the Premier League. Leeds United against Liverpool has been the highlight of the games so far. And of course, Wolves up against Sheffield United. That was also very interesting. And Chelsea fighting really hard on Monday night to get all 3 points against Brighton at home, Albion. We're talking all of the games and of course, maybe some more confirmations from the transfer window. Good to have you, Oluwole.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here once again. I've been away from the podcast for maybe like 5 to 6 episodes now. So I'm happy to be back once again to talk football.
And absolutely. I mean, because of the unorthodox way the football season ended last season and the way it has started this time around, there was a bit of excitement amongst football fans. You know, the preseason wasn't as the way it used to be. Lots of transfer also coming in. But, I mean, people couldn't wait for the new football season to start, particularly in the Premier League. Do you think opening weekend was up to the expectation of what the fans were expecting?
Yeah, I think the opening weekend matched a bit of the expectation. It almost feels like we didn't go on break at all. It feels like last season ended last week. And this season, I feel the first round of matches weren't so explosive. Liverpool Leeds was the highlight of the weekend. Very entertaining game. We saw two managers that didn't hold back at all, played very expressive and expansive football. And, you know, for a neutral, it was a very, very entertaining game. Good to see Leeds back and, you know, seeing them play the way they played when they won the championship.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned two managers who didn't hold back. Staying with Leeds United, we've seen teams, you know, who came to the Premier League playing in a particular way and they wanted to retain that, you know, philosophy and it didn't work in their favour. You know, case in point could be Fulham.
Norwich as well.
So, I'm not quite sure. Anyway, it's the first game of the season and let's see how it goes. They rattled Liverpool with how they played, scored 3 goals, save for the unfortunate situation of Rodrigo giving away a penalty, probably would have ended 3-3. So maybe because they've got a master tactician in their corner in Marcelo Bielsa, eventually it might work in their favour.
Well, I feel they still need to have players that can properly execute what he wants to do. The Championship is a level lower than the Premier League. You know, when Pep came to the Premier League the first season, you could see what he wanted to do, but he didn't have the players to execute it. So it's important for Leeds to still go into the market, try to get one or two players to be able to execute what Bielsa wants and how he wants his team to play. If not, like you mentioned, you know, Norwich, you know, gave us that very entertaining football. But then, right now, they're in the Championship.
Brilliant. I mean, from a Liverpool point of the discussion, I feel like there's an issue in the Liverpool team that needs to be addressed, right? For the first game of the season, and for me, they start now. The defensive side of things, towards the tail end of last season, they started conceding, you know, much more than they used to. Started conceding goals. They weren't as tight defensively as they used to. Now, the first game of the season against the newly promoted side, they conceded 3 goals. And Van Dijk, Joe Gomez, they had their usual back line. You know, Leeds United could argue and say they had some, you know, players missing in defense. But Liverpool had their usual back line and they considered 3 against a newly promoted side. I get the feeling that we might see similar situations in the course of the season because if you look at it really closely, you know, Liverpool can say that if you score against us, you know, we're going to outscore you. What is important is for us to get the 3 points. But if you look in history, the teams who end up winning the Premier League one way or another, always have the best defensive record. Not all the time, but most of the time. So, could that be, you know, an issue for Liverpool going forward?
Oh, definitely. We saw a bit of that towards the end of last season. But then, all of that was covered up with the fact that they had won the league, the players
Yeah,
are not really
exactly.
interested anymore and all of those things. So we just let that slide. But for this season, it's going to be a bit of a worry for Klopp. And I feel like the players, are a bit too comfortable. And then the opposition teams as well are beginning to target the weak points for the team, which happens to be the right-hand side where you have Alexander Arnold. So a lot of balls are going into those channels, dragging the center backs out of position and then leaving a lot of space in the middle, which Leeds were able to execute properly. So I think it might be a good thing as well for Liverpool, just to see how it is important to always improve a winning side. You need to create competition. You need to make sure that the players are on their toes, working to make the team, and also creating healthy competition between the players. All right, moving on to Chelsea now. How would you rate yesterday's performance? The new signings, what was Lampard trying to do, and was he able to pull it off?
Well, I think it's cool. For me, from the game, it's too soon to see what Lampard wants to do, particularly with the new signing. Because, I mean, Kai Havertz has had 5 days with the team. Before then, a long holiday. He hasn't played competitive football at all till yesterday. And even throwing him in from the start was a really, really huge ask, right? It's different from when you're bringing in a player in January transfer window, where he's been playing at his club, all through the season before January. So for Timo Werner, I think that was the highlight of the performance of the new signings, in my opinion. Was really sharp, was sharper than every other person on the team. You could tell that the team was still a mile away from being match fit, right? And so, like I said, it's still, I'm not quite sure what he wants to do with the new signings. I don't think, from the indications from yesterday's game, I don't think Kai Havertz would succeed playing on the right wing in the Premier League, because I don't think he's got the legs, I don't think he's got the temperament, I don't think he's got the aggression, right? So I think he would be asking too much of him. He's a creative guy that needs to get that wants to get into the box to score goals. I think if you put that much defensive responsibility on him, you're going to cut out that creative part of him, which was the main reason why you paid that much money for him. Because obviously, getting 3 points in the first game of the season is always a good thing. Can only help your confidence. But then they play Liverpool at home, next weekend. That's a huge test. And I think it comes at the right time. So let's see how the team would respond.
And how do you see Everton shaping up with the new signing, James Rodriguez pulling the strings in midfield?
Yeah, I've always thought, I mean, with every with the quality of players that they've been able to bring in midfield, their midfield would rise from a grade D or C to very close to being grade A, if not grade A. Because you look at that midfield and you get the feeling on their day they can battle and rattle any midfield in the Premier League, right? They've got the grit, they've got the aggression, they've got the perfect balance. Alan is a fighter in midfield. He's going to close everything down. He's going to tackle everybody. But on top of that, and I think people haven't seen that part of his game yet. People have not appreciated that part of his game yet, Alan. He's very good on the ball as well. When he gets the ball, he can drive forward with the ball at his feet. So I think when you've got a player like that, very similar to Kante in a way, can tackle, but also very good on the ball. Then you go to Doucouré, perfect box-to-box midfielder. Not as good as Yaya Toure, but I think he brings that similarity in his frame and in how he goes from box to
I think you
box.
should just leave it at that. The fame is all that is needed to compare both players. There is nothing actually about the Corey.
No, I think people get into their feelings quickly when you try to make similarities between players. I'm not saying he's as good as Yaya Toure, and I stated that clearly. He's not as good as Yaya Toure, but he brings some sort of similarity in the fact that on his own day, he can drive through any midfield unstoppable. On his own day, there's no stopping him. I don't see anybody that can get in front of Doucouré and Doucouré can break through them because of his frame. And he's very good on the ball as well. But I already stated that he isn't as good as Yaya Toure. But moving on away from that, then you've got James Rodriguez. When you have two players that can be aggressive, like Alan and Doucouré, then you've got James Rodriguez in front of them. I think he's a perfect midfield pairing for any striker, for any attacking player, because all James will need to do is just make the team tick, drop the ball, get into space, make, really, really key passes like we saw in that game against that Tottenham Hotspur. So I think Everton are on their way to being a better team, a much better team. I don't think they're good enough to get into top four already because they haven't got that prolific striker. I think they should have gotten Callum Wilson because if Wilson is fit, he's a proven goal scorer. Calvert-Lewin is good, but he's not prolific enough to be your main goal scorer if you're trying to get into the top four. Because you look at all of the teams trying to get into the top four right now, they've got great goal scorers from Man City to Liverpool to Arsenal. Chelsea just brought in Timo Werner.
United.
I'm not completely convinced about, really good goal scorer for United.
Exactly.
I'm not too convinced just yet. But even Wolves have got Jimenez. So you need to have that focal point. That one man that, having a bad season is still going to give you 15 to 20 goals. You need that. So but I think Everton they've done really good business.
We're already seeing the top four chase shipping up already. How about the relegation? How bad were Fulham for you? I mean, I felt like it was schoolboy defending. Arsenal had all the time on the ball. They weren't closing them down. When the ball goes into the box, nobody was clearing the ball. They were missing second balls. How bad were Fulham, and what can Scott Parker do to this team?
I mean, they were as bad as they could be. They were as bad as they could be. Considered three goals, and which was surprising for me. The fact you mentioned the fact that they were not pressing. They were losing second balls. When coming into the Premier League with a manager like Scott Parker, because they were in the Premier League 2 seasons ago with Jokanovic, who wanted to play some fancy stuff, and obviously didn't work for them in the Premier League. But now they've got Scott Parker. I thought that Scott Parker would bring that aggressive edge, that tenacity, and that feistiness that you need to be in the Premier League. So it was a bit of an oxymoron, if I can put it that way, when I saw them against Arsenal with how lazy they were. But also, it could be that Arsenal were just that good on the day. So it was the first game of the season. I would love to see Fulham again in how they would respond to that defeat. So let's see what exactly they can fix, how they can come out in their next game, because this is the Premier League. It's a league of the big boys. You have to buckle up. But it's still the first game of the season. I'll be interested to see how they respond in their next game.
Yeah, they'll be facing Leeds in the next game. That should be a very interesting one. Let's talk transfers now. Which clubs do you think still need to strengthen before the window shuts by the end of the month?
We're hearing Chelsea, a new goalkeeper is coming. The deal is more or less done, pending an official announcement. Edouard Mendy to compete with Kepa. I think that is very much needed. But also, interestingly, in a transfer window that has been really sensational for Chelsea already, they're still talking about Declan Rice. Now, after the game against Brighton and Hove Albion, even though it was the first game of the season, I kind of felt the reason why Lampard might be, looking to get Declan Rice in again. The midfield pairing of Kante and Jorginho in front of the midfield was not working defensively. In fact, it was really weak defensively. So it might be down to the fact that the defensive role isn't properly defined between Kante and Jorginho. And I know that might sound a bit funny because we all know that when Kante is there in front of the defense, his responsibility is to, snuff out the opposition attack. But sometimes because Jorginho also likes to get stuck in, lots to, tackle, there might be times where Kante feels like, okay, Jorginho is going to get the job done there. So I feel like it wasn't working defensively. And at the back of Lampard's mind, he might be thinking, Kante got injured a lot last season. If that happens against this season, we don't have any more cover, for our defense in central midfield. So that might be the reason. But moving forward, I feel like Manchester United as well. I've been quite surprising with how, yeah, a bit of activity, but also in terms of areas that I feel they needed to strengthen, lack of activity as well. It's always been about Jadon Sancho, and I feel like they need to move on from that. Move on from that. All indications are Sancho is going to remain at Dortmund at least for this season. They've got to move on from that as far as I'm concerned. They need a striker.
Don't you think they should also focus on defense? I mean, they need to get a proper center back to partner Maguire, who who would obviously play because of his price tag. They don't actually have a good left back as well, because you have two defensive minded fullbacks in Wan-Bissaka and Luke
If I'm to
Shaw.
put it on a scale, right? I know they still need to do something defensively, but that you mentioned the left back. That's why they're trying to get Reguilon from the Real Madrid. Even though the deal is stalling because of some requirements from both sides, right? But I still think if I'm to put it on a scale, I would say they need a striker much more than they need defenders right now. The defense is not so good. But they had a way that they used to set up last season that helped them a bit, right? With Matic and Fred doing all the work, sometimes Scott McTominay would come in. So they've got a bit of a very solid central midfield, that can help the defense line. And sometimes defensively, having defense minded fullbacks can help you defensively. But I feel like, can they depend on Martial to get them 20 goals this season? I don't think so. Even if he can, they need to throw in very solid competition there. So everyone knows that we're not playing around. We need goals in the team. And they've got Bruno Fernandes now that they know can put the ball on a platter for strikers, so long as you, for the strikers, so long as you can score a goal. So I think they need a striker much more than they need defenders right now, as far as I'm concerned.
So, you did also mention Liverpool.
Well, for Liverpool, my issue for them would be, the defensive lapses that we've been witnessing. How do they fix that? For me, I feel it's much more coaching than bringing in a defensive personnel. I think they need to really figure out what they're doing wrong. Maybe the only sacrifice that they would need to do is the right back, Trent Alexander-Arnold. They need to make a decision. Do we prefer, what he brings going forward at the expense of, being open in his position defensively? So they've got to make a decision on that. Also, going forward, personally, I don't know about Liverpool fans. I don't know about Jurgen Klopp. I think I'm not overly impressed with Roberto Firmino. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's a great striker. When you play for a club like Liverpool, I mean, the only reason we're not talking Firmino is because Mane and Salah are really high scoring players. That's the only reason why they cover up for him a lot. Because I see Firmino, the game against Leeds, there were multiple opportunities for him to pull the trigger. And he just kept on looking for passes. He kept on looking for cutbacks. He kept on looking for through passes. For me, I don't want that kind of a striker in my team. I don't mind if Salah gets 30 goals. I want another striker that can get another 30 goals. And if Liverpool are looking to retain the title, Jurgen Klopp has mentioned they're not going to defend their title. They're going to go and attack it. If you want to attack it, you need a striker that's going to score a lot of goals. You need to come out in a way where that people won't expect. Liverpool have started the season against Leeds United, the same Liverpool that we saw last season. People know that Firmino is going to start through the middle, Mane left wing, Salah right wing. They're always going to play a midfield three. This season, I think they need to switch things up. I think they need to switch things up. They need a striker that,
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
to be fair to Klopp, he tried to bring in Timo Werner, and we could see yesterday the things that he would have brought to the team if Liverpool had been able to sign him. But I feel like Klopp
Not
needs to put aside his sentiments for Firmino and actually,
Yeah.
drop the guy.
How about they go get Edin Dzeko? I'm just saying. I think they need another dimension going forward. A striker that gives them something different. Now, Origi has that frame, but in the profile of how he plays, doesn't go close to what Dzeko can bring into the team. If you get a striker that's also a ball breaker, a striker that can run through, center backs, not just a striker that's good with the ball at his feet, good technically, that loves to play fancy stuff. I think they also need to bring in somebody that's ruthless. Go to Atalanta and get Duvan Zapata. I
That
don't care
that would be an
whoever you need
interesting
to bring
signing.
in. Exactly. I don't care whoever you need to bring in. I just feel like Liverpool needs to they need to be unpredictable this season.
I feel that they need to add some sort of creativity in midfield as well, so that the fullbacks won't be asked to do a lot of attacking. You know, if you have somebody like Thiago in midfield, then you don't need
Exactly.
Trent and Robertson always bumping forward. They can also sit back, you know, and try to maintain the line of defense so that center backs can have protection. Anyways, moving away from that,
Tottenham. We haven't touched on Tottenham with Mourinho. I mean, before the start of the season, there was a lot of positivity around them with the All or Nothing documentary that came out, and you know, people saw behind the scenes of
definitely.
Mourinho's time at Tottenham so far, and it created some sort of positivity around the team. I'm sure you'd agree with that, but that wasn't the best start to the new season. You know, against Everton, we know that Everton, you know, strengthened. You know, so was Tottenham did the same thing. But what exactly do you think went wrong for Tottenham?
I feel Tottenham actually did not create a lot of chances.
Yeah.
You know, they were neither here nor there. You know, they had some good moments. Dele Alli in the first half, he was taken off in the second half. Kane didn't have enough touches. You know, Son as well wasn't involved in the game. The midfield three did not work for me. I think you have when you have he played Eric Dier and Hojbjerg as well, and then in the second half he took off Ali and brought in Moussa Sissoko. So it was. It was a very, very defensive-minded midfield three, and Matt Doherty was finding it difficult, you know, to understand the team. He has mostly played as a wing back in the last two seasons. So having to play as a right back now with more defensive duties was a bit too difficult for him to be able to blend with the team. To be
No,
very fair,
yeah.
Everton should have scored close to five goals if Richarlison had a scoring boot on. I feel Spurs need to fix that attacking side. What Eriksen brought to the team is still lacking.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to cover it till
Yeah,
now.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think they've not been able to replace Eriksen, and it was unfortunate that they didn't have Lo Celso on the day, because Lo Celso is their only creative edge right now in the team. There's a need to also dump the golden boy conversation around Dele Alli. His form has dipped for a couple of months now. If he doesn't raise his game, there's no need to keep, you know, trying to force him into the team. I think Dele Alli has not been performing well for a very long time. For a really, really long time. I think he's not been performing well. So there's no point. In the game against Everton, I didn't see anything he brought into the game except for the chance that he missed. I didn't see anything he brought into the game. You know, I know that going with a defensive midfield combination was forced because there was no Lo Celso. And it becomes more difficult at Tottenham because they're not a team that would go out and splash the cash. Because right now, I think they need a couple of signings. They need a striker that can, you know, create some sort of backup for Harry Kane. I think they need a lot of creativity, technically gifted players. Steven Bergwijn should have brought that into the team. Maybe he's still yet to settle totally. I think he's a good player, but they need that creativity in midfield. They lost Lo Celso, so there was zero creativity in the team. So obviously, first game of the season, but you wouldn't want to lose to Everton. Going forward, we'll see how it goes, and obviously we'll bring our updates. I think we'll more or less touch on all of the teams. Wolves as well started on a good note.
Yes.
Started on a good note. That was it. It took them, I saw a start. It took Wolves 218 minutes last season to get two goals in the Premier League. This season it took them just 6 minutes. So starting with a lot of fire as well. So I think that's about it. We touched on it.
Let's wrap up. Yeah, let's wrap up with the news that Lionel Messi is now the world wealthiest footballer, according to the new reports by Forbes. His total earnings this year has been $126 million, $92 million from his salary, and $34 million in endorsements. Ronaldo comes in second, although his earnings of $117 million will soften the blow. Neymar is in third place, $96 million. And then in fourth place is his teammate Kylian Mbappe with $42 million.
Yeah, I mean, so you get a bit of an indication of why Messi eventually stayed at Barcelona. I'm just saying because if you look at it, I don't think Messi gets as much as Ronaldo gets from image rights and sponsorship deals and his social media deals and all of that. I don't think he gets as much as Ronaldo does, but he still manages to retain, you know, number one spot. That means he gets a lot from his footballing commitments at Barcelona. So yeah. Even though he said he really wanted to leave, but I'm not sure. There's nowhere in the world where he would have got as much as he's getting at Barcelona. So interesting. These guys, I mean, highest earners of football. It's ridiculous how much money they take home at the end of the year. It's crazy. But that's what it is. So, and that's it on today's episode. Thank you, guys. Remember, you can catch us on all podcast platforms. Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts. You can follow us on all social media platforms as well at The Hindsight Pod to catch highlights of all of our episodes. We'll be back with updates and reviews of games from next weekend, the EFL Cup happening in midweek as well, bringing you all of the reviews and situations with the teams and transfer news with all of the teams, confirmations and announcements as well. You being Donovich should be back from the next episode. Thank you, guys. That's it on today's episode. Bye.
Bye, guys.